Madhava Kunjali Hari
Ha
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Siddhanti Goswami Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Bhagavad Kachayasthi Jarasata Sri Srimad Srila Bhakti Saranta Sarasati Thakur Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Iskcon Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Acharya Srila Haridasa Ki Jai. Vemsikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada Shri Dreti Radha Shri Vasari Gora Bhakta Bindhya Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Swami Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Shri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Jamun Mai Ki Jai Tulsi Maharan Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Bindhya Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
In the Bhagavata. You inquire the speaker of it's easier for me. I could talk a lot. So. It's not the best mass. Rubs up against it. Hare Krishna. We are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Two verses today. We're beginning, this is the first canto, first of all. And is there a marker here? Yes. And it is the 16th chapter. And we're going to read two verses because the first verse has no purport. And so we're going to read text 17. And then we'll read together text 18. I don't know what's up on the screen there. Is it 17? So I'm just going to...
19 also.
Oh, 19 also. Achcha.
Jesus.
Okay. Yes. So much to talk about.
Good.
Hare Krishna.
We like to hear.
Well, let us try. Tasya evam vartamanasya Pavesham vitam anvaham Nati dhare kilascharyam Yadasitam nibodhane. So I'll just read the translation of this verse and then we'll go to the next. Now you may hear from me of what happened while Maharaj Parikshit was passing his days hearing of the good occupations of his forefathers and being absorbed in thought of them. The verses up to this have been about Maharaj Parikshit's travels and conquering, but he had this premonition. Kali Yuga was beginning. Then text 18. Dharma Padai Kinevaram Charan Charan Vichayam Upalabhya Bham Pichchati Shunashu Vadanam Vivaisham Iva Mataram Dharma Padhai Kinacharam Vichayam Upalabhya Gam Vichchati Shmashu Haranam Vivasham Iva Mataram Vivatsam Iva Mataram
Vivatsam Iva Mataram
Others, please chant better than me.
Dharma padai kinacharan.
Dharma padai kinacharan.
Vichayam upalabhya gyan.
Vichayam upalabhya gyan.
Vichchati
smashu varanam.
Vivatsam
iva mataram. Padaikanacharam
Vichayam
upalabhya gyan
Vichati smashu vadanam
Vivatsam iva mataram
Dharma
padaikanacharam Vichayam upalabhya gyan Vichchati smashu varanam
Vivatsam
iva mataram Ladies
Dharma padai
kinacharam
Vichayam upalabhya gyam
Vichchati smashu varanam
Vivatsam
iva mataram Dharma padai kinacharam Vichayam upalabhya gyam Vichchati smashu varanam Vivatsam iva mataram Dharma. The personality of religious principles
that are
led Vichayam, overtaken by the shadow of grief, Upalabhya, having met Dham, the cow, Prichchati Sma, asked Ashru Bharanam, with tears on the face. Vivatsam, one who has lost her offspring. Eva, like Mataram, the mother. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The personality of religious principles, Dharma, was wandering about in the form of a bull. And he met the personality of earth in the form of a cow, who appeared to grieve like a mother who had lost her child. She had tears in her eyes, and the beauty of her body was lost. Thus, Dharma questioned the earth as follows. Purport. The bull is the emblem of the moral principle, and the cow is a representative of the earth. When the bull and the cow are in a joyful mood, it is to be understood that the people of the world are also in a joyful mood. The reason is that the bull helps production of grains in the agricultural field, and the cow delivers milk, the miracle of aggregate food values. The human society, therefore, maintains these two important animals very carefully, so that they can wander everywhere in cheerfulness. But at the present moment, in this age of Kali, both the bull and the cow are now being slaughtered and eaten up as foodstuff by a class of men who do not know the Brahminical culture. The bull and the cow can be protected for the good of all human society simply by the spreading of Brahminical culture as the topmost perfection of all cultural affairs. By advancement of such culture, the morale of society is properly maintained, and so peace and prosperity are also attained without extraneous effort. When Brahminical culture deteriorates, the cow and bull are mistreated, and the resultant actions are prominent by the following symptoms. So we'll also read text 19, since we're supposed to do that text as well. We can chant it together, but perhaps we'll just do one chanting together, and then we'll go back and talk about these two verses, three verses. Dharma uvacha
karchi
vichayasi alakshaye bhavati anapradi ure bandhum sochasi panchamanta. So translation. Dharma, in the form of a bull, asked, Madam, Madam, are you not hale and hearty? Why are you covered with the shadow of grief? It appears by your face that you have become black. Are you suffering from some internal disease? Or are you thinking of some relative who is away in a distant place? Report. The people of the world in this age of Kali are always full of anxieties. Everyone is diseased with some kind of ailment. From the very faces of the people of this age, one can find out the index of the mind. Everyone feels the absence of his relative who is away from home. The particular symptom of the age of Kali is that no family is now blessed to live together. To earn a livelihood, the father lives in a place far away from the son, or the wife lives far away from the husband, and so on. There are sufferings from internal diseases, separation from those near and dear, and anxieties for maintaining the status quo. These are but some important factors which make the people of this age always unhappy. Just a little brief into the next verse, because it relates to, I was just wondering, in the verse that we did together, Dharma Padhaikena Charan, it's described that Dharma is standing on one leg, but in the translation, Srila Prabhupada doesn't bring this out, whereas he brings it out in the next verse. I have lost my three legs and am now standing on one only. That comes in text 20, the explanation. So we do get to understand, if we read on, that Dharma is wandering the earth, but Dharma is also suffering. Although when he approaches Bhumi in the form of a cow, although he himself is suffering, on one leg, dragging himself around. I mean, it's not very easy to, if you're a four-legged creature, to get around on just one. But somehow he is able to do that and approach Bhumi. But instead of complaining, he asks about her, because she's also suffering. So, these verses, now we're getting to hear about the age of Kali. Who's been around here? Perhaps, Akita, you remember the play, The Age of Kali. Yeah? You saw it in Mayapur, I think. The Age of Kali. Anyone else here has seen that play? You, of course, Pushkar, yes, you've seen it many times. And you remember this, because I just, you know, are you, Madame, are you not hale and hearty? That line I remember, right? Yeah. But I remember whoever was playing Dharma in the beginning of the play would say these exact words, Madame, are you not hale and hearty? Hare Krishna. The age of Kali. The descriptions that we're finding here to us seem like, well, that's just normal life. You know, we don't know other experience of a world in which there is no anxiety. I mean, but that's just normal. No one's getting sick. Well, that's just normal. Sickness is a normal part of life. Yeah, okay, working. That starts to ring a little few bells, because even in our present experience, many of us perhaps grew up in homes that did have mother and father and everyone, we were all together. But we didn't have our grandparents. Anyone here grew up with, maybe some of the Indian gentlemen have experience of growing up with their grandparents. Anyone?
No, they didn't live that far away in my day.
They were close enough, right? Not mine were a long ways away. But now, it's like even the family itself, even the father and the mother, the parents, they have to travel various distances in order to survive in this world. Of course, now we have by the benefit of this pandemic, everyone's getting to work at home, so maybe that's going to change this dynamic somewhat. But still, these symptoms are quite prevalent, but we think this is normal. But there was a time, not so long ago, several thousand years ago, during this time of the Krishna's appearance on this world, where things were different. Very, very, very different. So for Parikshit to begin to see the arrival of the age of Kali, it is a marked impression on him. And now it's being explained in the form of interchange between Dharma and Bhumi. In the purport, this first purport, Srila Prabhupada brings out a term which I felt we could explore of Brahminical culture. Now this term can be interpreted in two ways. One way is when you speak of the culture of the Brahmins, because Prabhupada uses it in that term. He talks about Brahminical culture, Kshatriya culture, Vaishya culture. But I believe that in this context, in the context of this purport, Srila Prabhupada is using the term Brahminical culture in a broader sense to indicate the culture. And there's a, I'll quote if I can get to it in my notes. The culture which is inspired by Brahminical principles. So let me see if I can get to it. Just hopefully this will work. This is Grace of the Vanipedia, and hopefully the internet is going to work here well enough. Where if you search on the term Brahminical culture, then you'll find Srila Prabhupada describing this in many, many places. And one which I felt was a good reference here, and this is a lecture very early, in 1966, in New York, before Pushkar and I got to New York, but anyway.
No, I was there already.
1966?
I was in New York.
You were in New York. I was in New York in 1966, too.
I was born in New York.
Okay.
No, I had a friend
who lived in the back. A friend who lived in the back of 26th Second Avenue?
Like the rent apartment. I mean, he wasn't a good friend. He went to high school. I went to his place. It was just above where Prabhupada would move later.
How many of you have heard this song? Titikshara Karunika wrote a song about being in New York at that time, but not seeing Srila Prabhupada.
No, it's
he wrote a beautiful song about, I missed out.
He's young, I don't know how young, how old.
I don't know, he probably wasn't in New York in 1966, but anyhow, he wrote a song about it, and I heard that song and I felt the same way, because at least 67 I was there. But I missed out, I didn't see Srila Prabhupada. Anyhow. But he wrote, or he spoke there. Similarly, Bhagavad Gita also accepts the Brahminical culture. Brahminical culture means the social position in which everyone, now we're not just talking about Brahmins in this sense. We're talking about everyone is assisted to elevate himself to the highest position of understanding, the position and the constitution of the soul. That should be the aim of human society. So this is another sense that we can understand what is being meant here by when Srila Prabhupada speaks of brahminical culture, not just the culture that the Brahmins follow, but the culture that everyone follows based on the leadership and teaching of the Brahmins and based on the understanding of Brahman, that we are all spiritual beings, including the cows, especially. Go Brahmanya Deva, go Brahmana, Hitaracha, Jagat Hitara, Krishna, Govinda, Namo Namah. So Srila Prabhupada is bringing out these two aspects. First of all, brahminical culture is required, and I'm offering that in this context he's saying that the culture of understanding ourselves as spiritual beings is necessary to be human beings. Here in the same purport, he says here, where is it? Here. He says the human society. So basically he's saying that the human society means brahminical culture. That's also reiterated in the seventh canto, where Narada Muni is speaking to Yudhisthira and describing, and I'll try to bring that up as well, if I can. He gets into a description of Varnashrama, particularly. But he begins by describing, this is 7:11, it's a seventh canto, 11th chapter. And texts 8 through 12, where he says, these are the general principles to be followed by all human beings. So again, we have this concept that brahminical culture, and we'll hear what are those principles. They are brahminical principles, but they're to be followed by all human beings. It's not that in a varnashrama society where the individuals are acting according to different roles and are designated as Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras, that they have different principles to act upon. At some level, yes. At some level, for the Kshatriya, they have to employ courage and strength and military activity, whereas the Brahmin will employ other qualities in their lives. But there are certain fundamental human qualities that are brahminical culture. And this described here, it begins, these are the general principles to be followed by all human beings: truthfulness, mercy, austerity, observing fasts on certain days of the month, bathing twice a day, tolerance, discrimination between right and wrong, control of the mind, control of the senses, non-violence, celibacy, charity, reading of scripture, simplicity, satisfaction, rendering service to saintly persons, gradually taking leave of unnecessary engagements, observing the futility of the unnecessary activities of human society, remaining silent and grave, and avoiding unnecessary talk, considering whether one is the body or the soul, distributing food equally to all living entities, both men and animals, seeing every soul, especially in the human form, as a part of the Supreme Lord, hearing about the activities, instructions given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, here it goes into the activities of bhakti. These qualities which are described by Narada Muni to Yudhisthira begin with basic human qualities and then continue with the activities of bhakti. Basically saying that true human society is governed simultaneously by the brahminical principles and by the activities of bhakti. Where he says, hearing, chanting about these activities, instructions, always remembering these activities and instructions, trying to render service, performing worship, offering obeisances, becoming a servant, becoming a friend, and surrendering one's whole self. Okay, Yudhisthira, these 30 qualifications must be acquired in the human form of life. In the human, it's not saying in the Brahmin human, or the Vaishya human, or the Kshatriya human, or the Shudra human. Everyone in human life must develop these qualities. Cultivate these qualities. And we'll get to that. About then he goes on to describe the sanskaras which start to differentiate. But these are basic. These qualities are basic to everyone. So a real brahminical culture means that everyone is manifesting and cultivating these qualities. And this is what we don't see today. And the pinnacle expression of the lack of these qualities is in the slaughter of the cows and the bulls. This most sinful action, I'm not sure, I think it is in 1:17, in the purport, where Srila Prabhupada describes again the slaughtering of cows in the context of Kali Yuga. And so he uses words like things that cannot be, activities so atrocious they cannot be described in the pages of this literature. And that these greatly sinful acts are the cause of all sufferings. We're going to go on in these next verses to hear about the symptoms of Kali Yuga. But we can understand that the root of the development of these symptoms, as exemplified here, is the treatment of the cow and the bull. Because of the way that human, so-called human society has degraded to the point that the father and mother of our well-being are sent for slaughter. This is the indication that it's all we're done for in this Kali Yuga. Prabhupada keeps in the purport, gives us the support why the cow and the bull must be revered. He doesn't, in this purport, he doesn't refer to the transcendental aspect, Krishna's love for cows and bulls. But he refers instead to the practical aspect, how the bull is the force by which we can bring forth the grains that sustain us. And the cow brings forth, what does he describe? The words he uses here? The miracle of aggregate food values. The miracle of aggregate food values. Milk provides these proteins, vitamins, those of us, we're all vegetarians here, and we've all heard about, well, B12, you know, you have to be careful about not having enough B12, right? But if we have the proper milk that is coming in without all these synthetic hormonal ingredients, etc., then adequate B12 will be there. Not only B12 in the form of milk, but what I've understood is that when we fertilize our fields with the dung of the cows, then the B12 from there goes into the vegetables. And so all the vitamins we need from our vegetables, the food that we need to, it all can be derived by the grace of the cow and the bull. But where are we now today? Hardly any connection. We have no connection with our cows and bulls. A few of us, Adikarta and Ruchira, they're maintaining. We went yesterday to see them. Beautiful herd of cows. We learned of one of their cows that was so extraordinary. She would stop giving milk. She gave milk for like 8 years, and she would stop giving milk when the I guess it was when the winter started to get cold, and then as things started to warm up, she would come forward, and there she was, and she started giving milk again. This is what happens when cows are loved and cared for. They reciprocate. But most of us, does anyone else here have cows? But of course, we all have, yes, that's true. All of us here through Raman Reiti have cows, a few. How many devotees here are taking only milk from protected cows? A few. Good. We need to do more. We need to do a lot more to change this culture. We need to do something in our lives, something that helps to advance the protection of cows and bulls. Whether it's donations to those who are keeping cows and bulls, supporting the farmers that are supplying milk from protected cows despite the cost being, you know, $15 or $16, whatever it is. Not considering that, oh, it's expensive, I can't afford it. We have to change our culture to make it more ruminical by adopting a attitude towards the role of cows and bulls in our own lives and finding ways to enhance that. Now, I don't want to go on and on about that. I think everyone here will have to find their own ways to do that. But I highly encourage everybody. I've given talks in India, and I remember one talk I gave in Pune on this subject. And I said, because in Pune we have many, many devotees who are engineers and, you know, computer scientists and all kinds of very smart people. I said, you're all really smart people. Figure this out. Figure it out. We can't just go on and on and on saying, well, you know, what are we going to do? You know, we just, because, you know, we have two options, three options, I should say. We have the option of giving up milk and just, you know, forget about it. We can all be vegans. And but then Krishna, you know, he's pretty attached to milk. He's not going to be very happy with tofu tofu sabjis and, you know, almond milk. And he wants his milk. But he wants his milk from cows that are loved. Because he will accept milk that, you know, if we have no other way. But we can't just think that that's okay. We can just maintain that forever and ever. I have to figure it out. How can we do this? There must be a way. There must be a way. Right? I mean, are we doomed? Are we all just doomed to be connected to this slaughterhouse industry? Or give up milk? Well, there must be a way. Do you agree? Is there, or is it hopeless? Is Kali Yuga just so, I mean, I just think there must be a way. And I think where there's a will, there's a way. And that if we have the will to do this, if we have a real, you know, strong will, we must figure this out somehow. Hell or high water, you know, whatever you want to, however you want to describe it. Damn the torpedoes, you know, whatever. There are going to be so many obstacles, but somehow we have to figure this out. How can we increase and develop the population of cows and bulls in a protected environment so that all the devotees, at least, are able to offer Krishna cow milk from protected cows. All of you I know at your homes, you're worshipping Krishna. You have, in some form, you're worshipping Krishna. You're preparing food. You're offering it to Krishna. But you have to go to the supermarket to buy the ingredients. And in the supermarket, you get what you get. We don't have to get into the details. But it's not there. This has to change. Somehow or other, this has to change. And I think it's a matter of making it a priority. If it becomes a priority in our lives, that we have to change this, then we'll find a way. I mean, it's not that difficult to do. It's mostly a matter of money, frankly. It's mostly just a matter of money. Where we put our money. If we, you know, I went over a little bit with Adikarti yesterday, and at the, you know, they have a herd of 18, they're milking two cows, they're producing milk and yogurt and other products, and they're basically at $15 a gallon, they're basically breaking even on the maintenance of the cows. They're not, you know, there's nothing extra for them to pay their taxes even, probably. And I'm sure they, you know, they have some taxes on the land, and they have some things that have to be paid for. So the cows are still being subsidized. Even at that amount, it's still not enough to fully cover it. But, you know, there are other factors that could be employed. They don't have the resources to fully utilize the land that they have. There are other cow products. There are, you know, manure products. There are medicinal products. There are other things that can add to the income stream of a working farm. But the most important element for farms to proliferate in this area or any area of the world is you, the consumers, there to support it and to make it work. So this is my little, you know, pitch that whenever I get to a purport that includes cows, I generally have to say all this. So if you go back and listen to any of my, you'll see that I'm harping on it. But what to do? So there is a step that we can all take. We've taken it. The first step I've taken is we don't buy any commercial milk. We don't buy any milk from protected cows. If we come to a temple and they're offering us prasad, we don't question, oh, hey, is it? We know it's offered to Krishna, and we'll accept that. And whenever we can, we pay the price and get the milk from protected cows. And whenever we can't, we continue to donate money for cows in general, to help build it up and make it go forward. So if we all accept this as part of our life's missions, to revive this aspect of Brahminical culture, then I think we have some hope. But coming back to the general principle, that Brahminical culture means human culture, real human culture, and we all are in human forms, so we should be aspiring to cultivate human qualities, the qualities of truthfulness and mercy and austerity, cleanliness, all the qualities described by Narada Muni. We have to cultivate these. In one sense, by simply practicing devotional service, they will naturally arise in us. But we have to aspire for them as well. We have to cultivate. We have to cultivate, meaning that when we see that we're exhibiting or experiencing qualities that are not Brahminical, we have to recognize it and correct things. So, I've spoken enough. Hare Krishna. Others may also like to add or offer some comments. Any comments, questions? Yes, Mataji.
Prabhu, can you talk about how it is now in Mayapur as far as cow protection and everybody, you know, participating in it?
Yes, Mayapur, a great example of failure. I mean, you know, what can I say? It's a total, not total, but it is, to me, it's just, how many of you have visited Mayapur in the last 3-4 years? So what did you see when you started to come into Mayapur? Did you see, you know, fields being cultivated and cows being cared for? Is that what you saw?
In the back,
or did you see 10-story buildings?
Well, probably not buildings. You didn't tell them not to build the buildings.
Yes.
And we also have a goshala.
We have a goshala.
Well,
we have a goshala with 350 or so cows, providing milk for only the deities. The milk from the goshala goes to the deities. The 6,000 or so devotees living in Mayapur get their milk from the local farmers, 99% of whom sell their bulls and their animals in the local market, where they're transported to Bangladesh and slaughtered. That's the reality of Mayapur.
Cows, and Prabhupada won all different programs.
ISKCON has 350 cows.
Yes.
6,000 residents of Mayapur have 5 cows.
We got work to do.
We have work to do.
Yeah.
So the situation in Mayapur is no better. The situation in India, many people think, well, some parts of India now are a little bit better because of the laws being enforced against cow slaughter. So we find that some of the farmers are, you know, the cows are no longer, but instead of being sold, they're being abandoned and left to roam on the streets. And if they're lucky, they'll survive. And if they're not, they'll be smuggled to those states where they are slaughtered. That's the also reality. And of course they'll eat garbage and plastic and die of that. So cow protection is a long ways off for all of us. The ideal of cow protection. That's the reality. Hare Krishna. So, any other questions? Comments?
I ingloriously always put my foot in the mouth, but I did get to stay at the Vaishnava Academy across from the Goshal, and I mean, it isn't everything, but it certainly to me seemed like a pretty dynamic start. I mean, they have a lot of cows here.
Yes, if you consider it a start.
Yes,
start means that you start going somewhere.
Yeah,
right?
Well, they have, like, I saw people streaming all day long to go there, and the whole Goshal is dedicated to promoting these principles that you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's an educational facility.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not saying that's everything, you're right, but, I mean, I wouldn't call it.
But it's not going anywhere.
Well,
the start is there, but in 50 years, I've not been in Mayapur 50 years, 40 years. This is how far we've gotten in 40 years. Well, 43, 44 years, 76, I think.
You know, I've been there all 6 weeks maybe, and in a couple of different occasions, but I did go in 82 and they had a much, much smaller Goshal. And when I was there a few years ago,
you know,
when you were there, it was a much, much bigger Goshal, and boy, there's people streaming all day long to hear about what you're talking about. And, you know, so...
And do nothing about it.
What do you mean doing...
They go home.
Well, this whole class is about Brahminical culture. Brahminical culture is education. Education means something.
Yes.
It's not like a waste of time. And educating these people about on that level, the importance to go in there and interact with the cows and buy the sweets and get little books and make donations, it's not everything, but it's, you know, it's not nothing either.
No, I'm not saying it's not. That's why I said we have to do a lot more. We have to do a lot more.
Of course.
We can't, we have to do a lot more.
Yeah, but that's true, but they're being taken care of, and you know, it's not like just somehow kidnapping all the cows and letting them die naturally in the property is the only project that we have to do.
I think the answer that I would like to offer to your query is that it's, to me, this seems to, it feels a little bit like, yeah, we're doing, you know, we're doing okay. And I'm just offering that maybe we're not doing okay.
Well, it's good to push. We have a lot more to do. It's no question about it.
And I'm offering that perhaps we need to really think about very deeply how much we could be doing. That's my suggestion. Each one of us, not, you know, and not ISKCON, but we as individuals. What can we do? Yes, thank you.
Prabhu, the way you get affected is, I appreciate your expression, but I do, something wrong with me, I don't get that much affected. I always think, you know, few verses, somewhere or other I get distracted. Kali Sabha Jayanti Arja, how the intelligent people glorify Kali Yuga. My mind is like, I cannot think of like a necessity of bad things. In other words, I would say, what matter most in Kali Yuga is not how horrible or miserable. I'm not saying that it is not there, but how easily way out of it. The glorification of Sankirtan is like overwhelmed sometimes to me, my consciousness, that I cannot see the the horrible things that the cows are not protected. I mean, I'm not denying anything, but it's like not affected. You have any suggestion?
Go to the slaughterhouse.
I love preaching and glorifying the holy name, and it's like, it's so wonderful. Now, I made a little chart one time that Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara and Kali. Kali, why say Kali Sabha Jayanti Aja Gunagda Sara Bhagina? Japtra Sankirtana Iva Sarva Sattha Dagi Lampate. What you cannot get in Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dapur Yuga, you can have a perfect Brahmanical culture. I'm not denying what Prabhupada says, I understand, I respect that. But you could not get love of Godhead awakened that easily just by chanting, glorifying. Which ages was given? Mahaprabhu gave holy name with the love of Godhead together, braided. No, every yuga had a mantra, but not like this. Such an easy way.
That's the glories of Kali Yuga.
Yes.
But what to do? We have a choice. We can simply focus on Sankirtan and ignore all of these issues, but we still eat.
That's true.
And we still have to serve Krishna, we still have to offer Krishna food. And what to do?
But isn't like we are born with a particular psychophysical nature like influencing us?
Like yeah, no, I you know, it's not that everyone is going to farm. That's not going to happen. But as I said, I just think there's we can do a lot better. And we should be working towards that. Putting our heads together, talking about it, figuring it out. It's not going to be easy. There's so many problems to try to figure all this out. It's much easier to just, you know, just take what the world is giving us. The supermarkets and the you know, it's a lot easier to just go in there and get money from somewhere and buy stuff and, you know, it's all so much easier. But it comes along with some other headaches and some other problems, diseases and other things may come along with that too. It's like, you know, that happiness in the mode of passion, you know, it's easy in the beginning, but then there's difficulties that come towards the end. So this, what we're offered here is a path of goodness, which is more difficult in the beginning, but then has more benefits in the end. So it's a choice that we have to make. For our ultimate benefit, our ultimate path back to Krishna, all we need is Sankirtan. But while we're living in this world, we have to do something with our bodies. And so, and, you know, Srila Prabhupada, I think, was pretty... He wrote a lot about this. I think it's hard to argue that it wasn't very important for him, for our movement. This property itself was purchased on the day of his departure as a farm, as a working farm. That was the motivation.
And we have some farm.
And some farming is going on. Some farming is going on. I'm told, though, that I don't know what the number is, but I'm told that there are devotees in this community that own maybe thousands of acres of land. And how much of it is getting farmed? I mean, just as an example, if I read about a man who made a mission that he would live for 1 year only on food that he grew or foraged. Okay? And he had no land. And he went to Orlando, I think it was. And he made deals with all these
neighbors.
And he grew, he said, give me your land, I'll grow food on it. You can take whatever you like from that. You just let me grow. And he was able to grow enough on 10, 15 different, you know, households. Plus, apparently, I think it was Orlando or Tampa, I can't remember. There was a lot of fruit trees around. And the fruits were just falling on the ground. And so he was picking those up. He also was not a vegetarian. So he went and fished in the... No, he doesn't have a family.
Right. You know, that's called sharecropping. It's been done for a long time in the United States.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe there's some solutions there. Maybe there's people that in this community who have land and maybe they could give it for farming to others. I'm just thinking out loud. You know, it's just that this... If this was a... And of course, this is not the topic of Bhagavatam to get into planning of community and so on. But you know, my basic message that I was trying to bring out, and I can't help to do it whenever I hear a purport that has cows in it, I can't help but make this appeal. So forgive me for
uncertainty. No, but you made a nice point. In order to have a sustain this culture. If we don't have the culture, we cannot keep on growing. It's not a temporary thing.
Yeah,
for
the
long run, we needed that kind of a Vedic, Brahmanical culture. Farming, cows. Yeah.
And Srila Prabhupada emphasized that not everyone is going to dedicate themselves to the holy names of Krishna. And so they need an environment which will at least invoke some goodness. Hare Krishna, thank you for tolerating my appeal, and I hope to see you again.
Hare Krishna. And Mother of